If you didn't know who that man from Springfield, Missouri might be, it's Daryl Wittenberg. Daryl has more sayings than any person, in all people combined, all the sayings that we have do not compare to the amount of sayings and wisdom that comes from Mr. Daryl Wittenberg. But I think my favorite of all of those might have been Wadeen Chamberlain. Wadeen, our pastor's mother-in-law, as she told us so eloquently, if anything good in your life is happening, it won't last. If you're here for the first time, you have come to the most encouraging church in all of League City. We believe in the hope of God. No. I hope you know that most of these were jokes, but I want to talk to you just for a moment about the topic of tips on life. I think that there are some tips for life that we can really grab hold of and really start to live life to the fullest. I think for most of us, life is below the expectation that God has for us. He said that he came to give life and life abundantly, life to the fullest, and yet most of us live really underneath the calling that God has for us. And so, how many of you go to family reunions, or y'all have family get-togethers at the house? If you're kind of like me, there's always this crazy uncle. You know what I'm talking about? The crazy uncle that gives advice on everything in life. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, you do church. He ain't never been to church in life. You know how church should do. You know you should do it in church. Oh, do you preach? Well, here's how you should. You know, I have that in my family, and you probably have that too. Now, I want to, for the next 10 seconds or so, give you some cliches that have made it through the test of time. Number one, and help me, don't count your chickens before they hatch. How many of you have ever counted your chickens before they hatched? Number two, don't put all your eggs in the same basket. Don't bite off more than you can chew. It's better be thought a fool than to open up your mouth and remove all doubt. I subscribe to that. I try to keep it to a minimum. Number five, what goes around comes around. Number six, there's no place like... You want me to do that again? An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Eight, this is good because it's kind of like what Jory's mom was talking about, Elizabeth. She said, call your mom. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Number nine, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And 10, when life gives you lemons, don't make lemonade. Give them to Mama Snacks and make some mean old lemon bars. I got this Villanova commencement address by Anna Quindlen. She's a Pulitzer Prize winner. And she said these things to some graduates from Villanova. She said this, so here's what I wanted to tell you today. Get a life, a real life, not a manic pursuit of the next promotion, the bigger paycheck, the larger house. Do you think you'd care so much about these things if you blew an aneurysm one afternoon or found a lump in your breast? Get a life in which you notice and smell of the salt water pushing itself on a breeze over Seaside Heights. A life in which you stop and watch how a red-tailed hawk, whatever that is, circles over the water gap, or the way a baby scowls with concentration when she tries to pick up a Cheerio with her thumb and her first finger. We see that a lot. Actually, she just digs in with the whole handful. She takes after her dad. Get a life. Pick up the phone. Send an email. Send a text. Write a letter. Kiss your mom. Hug your dad. Get a life in which you are generous. Look around at the azaleas or the roses in the suburban neighborhood where you grew up. Look at the full moon hanging silver in a black sky on a cold night and realize that life is the best thing ever and that you have no business taking it for granted. I learned to live many years ago. Something really, really bad happened to me. Something that changed my life. Marriage. I'm joking. Ooh, wow. It's tough. Pastor's handwriting is all over my sermon. Gosh. If I had had my druthers, it would have never been changed at all. And what I learned from it is this. Today seems to be the hardest lesson of all. I learned to love the journey, not the destination. I learned that it is not a dress rehearsal and that today is the only guarantee you get. I learned to look at all the good in the world and try to give some of it back because I believed in it completely and utterly. And I tried to do that in part by telling others what I had learned, by telling them this. Consider the lilies of the field. Look at the fuzz on a baby's ear. read in the backyard with a sun on your face. Learn to be happy. And think of life as a terminal illness. Because if you do, you will live it with joy and passion as though it ought to be lived. Just keep your eyes and ears open. The classroom is everywhere. The exam comes at the very end. No man ever said on his deathbed, I wish I had spent more time in the office. Good words. I think not just words for graduates, but words for life for us. Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter and he said these 10 things about practical life, and you've probably heard them. Never put off tomorrow what you can do today. Never trouble another for what you can do yourself. Never spend your money before you have it. Where's our financial peace goers in here today? Never buy what you do not want because it is cheap. It will be dear to you. Pride costs us more than hunger, thirst, and cold. We never repent of having eaten too little. I don't know about that one. Can I sidebar that for a moment? I repent all the time for not eating that last bite. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, keep going. Nothing is troublesome that we do willingly. How much pain have cost us the evils which never have happened. Take things always by their smooth handle. And when angry, count to 10 before you speak. If very angry, 100. Great tips for life. I think tips that we could live by. I think tips that would make our life that much better. I got so much when this woman that gave the commencement speech at Villanova, when she said, consider life a terminal illness. Because when people get when they get a bad word from the doctor and they have this amount of time to live, they start living. And most of us wait so long in life to really grab hold of what God wants for us to live. I mean, here's the deal. We are all going to die. At some moment, we don't know when, but we are going to die and we are going to face a judge. We are going to go to either heaven or hell. We are going to do that. And here's the deal. We need to live life to the fullest right now. We have to live. And I think there's some tips in life that we have to look into. And they come from the red letters of Jesus in the Bible. I think if you want to know anything, you have to ask an expert. So in football, you ask Peyton Manning if you want to be a quarterback. In basketball, ask LeBron James. Or how many of you like the Rockets? Go Rockets. We're getting a little bit Clutch City back in gear. How many of you were around 94, 95 when, man, that was going on? Yeah, good stuff. Well, here's the deal. You ask Jesus how to live life. And I think he gives us some tips on life that are very, very important. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we find that Jesus and his disciples are seated around a table. And it's fitting for today that we look at this passage of Scripture because we're seated around a table. We celebrate graduates, but more than that, we celebrate Christ. And that song, We Are Stronger, it is written, He is risen. Man, this is what we celebrate. This is why we do church. This is why we can have joy even in the midst of dire times. This is why we exist. And Jesus sitting around the table, the Last Supper, some call it, with his disciples, he starts to give man his last tip for life. He starts to really, he'd lived with them, he had breathed with them, he had just done life with them over and over again. And this is his last moment, the moments before he is betrayed, the moments before that he is about to face crucifixion, and he starts to give his last tips to his disciples. And if you're there, John chapter 15, verse 1, say amen. Amen. Says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Let me stop there. I am the true vine. See, Jesus starts to equate himself with a vine. Now, this is the Son of God. Man, Scripture calls him the Son of Righteousness, the bright and morning star. He could have compared himself to anything in the world. And his last tip, he starts by saying, I am the true vine. The vine is not something that's so beautiful to the naked eye. It's not something that outward looks really like anything at all. But Jesus used it. He used it and he said, look, it's a true vine. And my Father is the gardener. It's not some wild thing that just popped up. This was not just by accident that I popped here through a virgin out onto your scene, to your world. It's not by chance. It was on purpose. God had a destiny for me, and it was this, that I be the true vine and my Father be the gardener. A vine has an unsightly and unpromising outside. A vine is a spreading plant. How many of you have ever seen a grapevine? It goes up the wall and it starts to spread all over the place. One side of the house got some of it. The other side of the house got some of it. It spreads, and Jesus knew that. And he knew that they knew about the grapevine. And so he could really say, look, I'm the true vine. This thing that I've started here with 12 or 120 or however many disciples were following him, it's going to spread to Jerusalem, to Jamaria, to Samaria, to the uttermost ends. Yeah, that didn't flow. But here's the deal. It's going to go to the uttermost parts of the world. And so he picked the vine because of that. He's saying, look, guys, I'm the true vine. There's been other vines that have popped up and had branches, but they faded, they wilted, they did not make it. I am the true vine. A vine's fruit honors God and cheers man, according to Judges 9, verse 13. The gardener, God, the landowner, the worker, though the earth is the Lord's, the God of this universe understands that it has to be worked. I think from a glance, we can look at these scriptures and look at God as someone that is just kind of mean. Let's just keep reading for a second. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, at a first glance, I think we can look at the gardener and say, man, that's harsh. That's tough. He's cutting off branches. He's throwing them away. And even the good branches that are producing fruit, he's cutting even more. And I think from a glance and from someone that's looking on the outside and not really sure about God and this whole Jesus and church thing, they can say, man, that's just harsh. Well, from a standpoint of a son, from a standpoint of a father, I look at this and look at God being vested in his project. I believe that he believes in us. I believe that God wants to see us successful more than any other person in our life, even more than mama, even more than daddy. Man, he wants the best for his kids. He wants the best for those that call his son Lord and Savior. He wants the best. And so he's taking a vested interest in what's going on. He's taking a vested interest in cutting and pruning and looking at the details of people's life to make them more successful. They might be successful in the world's eyes, but he wants them to be even more fruitful and more productive. That's good. I didn't get much sleep last night. I went over to Pam and Jay's house and played the Wii. And now I can't even move, because y'all ever done that Wii Fitness? No, not so much? Anyways, I got an age of 65 for my Wii. Obviously. Sweating. Jonathan got 25 and I was so irritated, so we left. I believe God wants to see us succeed. Graduates, I believe that God wants to see you succeed in life. In whatever your hand finds to do, I believe that he wants you to succeed even more than you want yourself to succeed. And you got to believe that. You got to know that God is vested in you. He didn't put you in this church for just by accident. You didn't come here by accident. Your parents didn't drag you here by accident. A friend didn't invite you here by accident. God has a vested plan for your life, and he wants to see it come to fruition. And you believe that, parents? Amen. See, Jesus continues to talk, and he goes down into verse 5, and he says this, I am the vine. He continues this thought, you are the branches. Now, here's what Jesus always does good. He starts to do this overview, and he gives a teaching or a parable, and then he breaks it down and brings it personal. So I think the disciples are like, yeah, branches get cut off, branches get pruned, yeah, take them, boom, kill them, boom, yeah, we're with Christ. And then he says, oh, whoa, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And I can see at that table, like, big gulps. What? And can you imagine? I mean, there's 12 sitting at the table, and Judas had already betrayed him. Can you imagine what's going through his head as he's going, I am the vine, you are the branches. And they just got taught on what the branches, you know, what their destiny was. Either God cut them off, threw them into the fire, or God pruned them and they were more fruitful. And so, man, these guys are thinking to themselves, oh, my Lord, you're sitting right in front of me. Thou art heavenly. Hallelujah. Y'all thought I was going to be, no, you're going to bring it in. If a man remains in me, he continues this, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and are burned. How many of you lived in a neighborhood that had old trees and you had a dad that liked to chop them down? You know what it is about picking them up and putting them in the fire. What'd that have to do with anything here? Nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Man, throughout this whole 8-verse discourse that Christ is giving, he's pouring out his last tips around the table to his disciples, the ones that he loves the most out of everybody. I mean, Christ loves everybody, but he is pouring in to these 12. Man, I can just see it's probably intense. There's 8 times that he says this word, remain. Remain in me. Remain in me. Let my words remain in you, and I remain in you. Man, he continues. 8 times in 8 verses, he says the word remain. The original word is meno, meaning to sojourn or tarry, to not to depart, to continue to be present, to be held, to be kept, to be continually remaining in Christ. His last tip that he ever gave to his disciples is to stay connected to the right things. Stay connected to the right source. Stay connected to the right attitudes and behaviors. Stay connected to the right table. That's good. You got to stay connected. Remain in me. First point that I want to give is this. What's Christ's tips for life here is to remain in me, to stay connected to the right source. Stay connected to the right source. How many of you have laptops? You know what I hate? When I'm working on a project and it's a really important one, like say a sermon or something, and I forget to plug it in. And all of a sudden I'm in the middle of a thought, I'm in the middle of a website trying to download this or download that, and all of a sudden, it blacks out. You know how irritating that is? You know how many fist holes are in the walls of this church that we've had to plaster over because of that? I mean, Pastor really gets temper. No. I'll never preach again. That's okay. I'm going out with a bang. That's what it's all about. He's saying you got to stay connected to the right source. You got to stay connected to the right source. And the right source is Christ. Man, he is the center. He is the all in all. He is the vine. The vine produces the sap that gives nutrients to the branches. The vine is the one that gives flourishing. It gives us fruitfulness. If we're not connected to the source, if we're not connected there with all that we have, man, we are going to go black on our screen. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 8:6 says. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Man, we live through Christ. He is the source. He is the strength. He is the reason that sometimes when we're going through life and it's really dark and dim, we can still get up with hope. He's the source of life. And you know, he continues to say, remain in me, remain in me. If he's saying remain in me or tarry in me, that means that they had to get into him. They had to follow him. They had to, man, first and foremost, give their life to Christ. They had to plug into the source. Maybe some of you are here today and you're like, well, this really doesn't apply to me. Remain in me. Well, then here's all you have to do. You just got to make Christ the center of your life. You got to ask him into your heart as Lord and Savior. You got to repent of your sins and say, you know what? I need some help in this thing called life. If the biggest tip that I could give to you today, it's for you that aren't believers, it's just to believe. It's to give your heart to Jesus and make him the source. Number 2, stay connected to the right things. What are the right things? I started thinking about this, and I started thinking about, I'm doing a series in youth called Target, and I'm really targeting our 18-year-olds that are graduating. There's a few more than 7 back there, but a lot of them couldn't make it on Sunday. So I'm really targeting, and I'm just trying to do a knee-to-knee, eye-to-eye conversation with them like I would have with my son. You know, when he's 18 years old, or maybe it's 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, maybe it's all the time that I'm having these knee-to-knee and eye-to-eyes. If you know my son, we probably would be having lots of conversations. throughout the years. But I started thinking, what are some right things that I could give to our graduates and give to our just people? These are the right things that I believe with all my heart. I'm going to pull some scripture, but man, these really just come and stem from my heart. Number one, stay connected to the local church. Man, the local church is the hope of the world. It was where I got saved. And you can't tell me, because it's personal experience. It's personal experience that I have from the local church. It was at the local church that I gave my heart to God. It's where I saw my sin for what it was, and it made me bow my knee to a Savior. The local church is the hope of the world. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Graduates, here's the deal. If you're not going to go to college around here, and maybe parents really are encouraging that, you have to get plugged into a local church, no matter where you go. We have to be plugged into a local church. And we can't plug in and plug out, plug in, plug it out, plug in, plug out. Man, we got to get plugged in and stay plugged in so that our screen can stay up. We got to do it. Yeah, I get one clap. Boy, I get excited about the local church. Man, it's in the local church that we find our destiny. It's in the local church that we find our purpose. It's in the local church that we can serve through the purposes of God, and we can find our worth and our meaning, man, in Christ. In the local church. Number two, stay connected with your family. That's awesome. Hey, come on. Yeah, mama knows, child. Mama knows. See, mama knows how to do laundry. Mama knows how to cook. Lacey said quesadilla. And that night that I got her video, I went home and made 4 quesadillas. But here's the deal. Quesadillas do get old. And it's nice to come home to a big steak and fried potatoes and cobbler. And yeah, it's nice. Mama knows how to make her baby feel good. You know what I'm talking about? Dad, not so much. But mama knows. Don't ever, ever sever ties with your parents. Next to God, they are your biggest fans. Next to God, they are the ones that want to see you succeed more than you do. Man, you need your parents, especially when you have your first child. You saw my wife up there. Wait as long as you can to get married and have kids. No, I'm joking. But I cannot imagine life without my family. You know, it's really important to stay connected. Free meals are the best kind of meals. Now, seriously, 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul is addressing the issue of widows and the church. Should they take them in? Should they start to, you know, tend to their needs? And he gives this to his son. He says, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, you gotta excuse me, because I see this in action right now. My grandpa's going through some stuff. And I see how my mom and my stepdad, my family gathers around him and provides for his needs. That's what being a church, that's what having a faith in Christ is all about." It keeps going. He says this. He says, oh man, I'm really gonna pay for this one. "He has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Harsh words that Paul gives Timothy. Dude, we got to stay connected to our family. Senior graduates, one day, you'll take care of your mom and dad. Dude, that's a cool thought. That's why I'm glad I got an older brother, because older brothers in the Old Testament were the ones that got the weight of that. I'm a support. I'm a ligament that helps them go. I don't even know if he's here. I think he is. Anyways, stay connected with your family. It's important. It's really important. Stay connected with your family. It's really important. It's really important. Stay connected with the right people. Hey, surround yourself with people wiser than you are. Surround yourself with people moving in the right direction. Find someone in this church, find someone in a local church that you admire and get in their back pocket and let them mentor you. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." Stay connected with the right people. And last, stay connected with the right energy. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." No matter what it is, graduates, it's going to be English, it's going to be history, it's going to be computer science, it's going to be a lot of stuff, but whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all that you got. If you are flipping burgers, flip the best burgers that you possibly can. Do your best in everything that you do. And I think we can carry that over into our jobs and into what we do in life and how we live with our family. Whatever our hand finds to do, do it with all that we got. Live life to the fullest. Live it like it's a terminal disease. We got to stay connected with the right energy. John 15 verse 9, it goes on. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain," there's that word again, "in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." Stay connected to the right source. Stay connected to the right things. Stay connected right here to the right attitudes and behaviors. You got one life to live. You got one life to love. Love not the way the world loves. Love sacrificially. Give your life as a sacrifice to God and for others. And if you do that, you will not regret it when you're on your deathbed. Amen. Last but certainly not least, last tip for the day. Tip on life, stay connected to the table. As a big man, I love the table. But there's a right table that we should be connected to our entire life. And it's this one. We value communion here at Dominion Church. We value the elements. We value and really reverence this moment, because this is a tip in life that Jesus says, "I want you to always do this in remembrance of me." I believe that there's power in staying connected to the right table. 8 out of 10 seniors that grow up in the church and graduate high school leave this table to never return. 1 out of the 12 disciples disconnected from the table for 30 silver coins and ultimately disconnected from Christ forever. There are youth all across this nation that grew up in church, that know the stories, that will disconnect from this table. And man, on my watch, on our watch, man, I pray that we teach them how to stay connected to this. Because this is where life begins. This is where we see the ultimate sacrifice paid by Christ on a cross, crucified 2,000 years ago. I think at this table we can remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. At this table, we can recommit our lives to him fresh and anew. At this table, we can find forgiveness through confessing our own sins. At this table, we can find life. Allison Botke said this, remember, I don't even know who that is, you may, but she said something so rich. She said, "Remember, if you're headed in the wrong direction, God allows U-turns." Right there. Graduates, all 7 of you, stay connected to that table. You may not think it's a big deal. In the act of it, it's really about what you put into it. Stay connected to the bread, which symbolizes, man, the body that was beaten for you and for me. Stay connected to the cup, which is really symbolic of the blood that he spilled for you and for me. We have to stay connected to that, because if we do, then we'll stay connected to life. Are you with me? Are you tracking?
Yeah.
Before we partake of communion, I want to give everyone an opportunity that's here in this room to make Christ Lord and Savior. It's really simple to get connected to our God and Savior. You do it by this, and I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes, bow your heads, and I want you to pray a prayer with me. Pray this: Lord, I need you in my life. I'm sorry for my sins. Take them and wipe them away. I ask you to be my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe that if you prayed that prayer for the first time, then you're saved and you are connected to the source. As our ushers are coming down, I want to just remind you that this time is reverent. Don't move. Don't go to the bathroom. But remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, because in that, you will find life. Are you ready?
From day to day.
agree with that? It'll never lose its power. In Luke 22, verses 14 through 23, we find Jesus seated with these disciples around a table. And he says this, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat of it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we're going to do that as a church family. And I just want you to take the little wafer. We're going to pray over that before we take it. Father, got to thank you for your body that was broken. And for us, for our healing, our spiritual healing, our emotional healing, our physical healing. God, we do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name. Verse 20 goes on to say, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with me and mine at the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to the man who betrays him. And they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Man, this cup, this blood that was spilled was so that our sins could be wiped out forever. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you that your blood, man, washes us whiter than snow. Though it might stain clothes, God, Lord, it washes our hearts sin free. And God, we do this right now. We take this in remembrance of you in Jesus' name. Isn't it good to be at the Lord's table? Isn't it good to be connected to that life? Well, I'm just going to give you a few more words, and it's this. Stay connected. Stay connected to Christ. Keep your focus on Him. And let me encourage you with one last tip that my spiritual father has always told me and continues to tell me. Run to your destiny. Pastor, would you please close?
We're going to give you just a moment to go ahead and stand to your feet. I'd like to say thank you to Pastor Clint for his heart and his passion for the youth of this church. And I'd like to say thank you to his entire team. This is a team that has spent an unbelievable amount of time and energy and have made many sacrifices so that we can have the kind of youth ministry that partners with you in the raising of our teenagers. I think there's definitely a need to celebrate them. The one group that we probably should have had to come to the front of the building this morning is those parents. Never in your dreams did you imagine that a senior year could be what it has probably been. And may each of us just commit in our hearts to continue to pray with you because you're not quite finished. And I know for me as a father, each year of my child's life, I say goodbye to certain things, and it's hard. I remember having to say goodbye to Ken and Barbie.